You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
In my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I go into detail about how your house can make you sick. Toxins, pesticides, gases, heavy metals, molds, now they're everywhere, and the more you're exposed to them, the greater risk you are to developing symptoms that can turn into much bigger health issues, such as allergies and heart disease, diabetes, obesity, cognitive and neurological disorders, and even cancer. Today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Robert Brown. He's a radiologist by trade, but has written an awesome new book with so much valuable information called Toxicome, Conscious Home. Dr. Brown is here to share step-by-step on how to make your home a true sanctuary so you and your family can live a fully active and vibrant long life. Thanks so much for being here on Wellness for Life, Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Dr. Suzanne. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Now, what got you interested in environmental medicine? For me, it was my son got severe allergies and got me to open myself up to like ways to help him, you know, more naturally. What got you interested in writing this book on environmental toxins in your home?
I think the first exposure that I had to environmental toxins was back in the 80s when I bit into an apple and I saw these little red streaks of dye going into the pulp. And nobody at that time was talking about dying fruit. And I was really perplexed at what I was looking at. But then, you know, after doing some research and kind of figuring out what was going on, it just became a hobby of mine to really be critical of the technology and the food supply and everything that we're surrounded by. And it just became a fascination of mine. Every time I would learn something new, I would tell my friends and my family about it. And over the years, I've built up quite a reservoir of information. I've decided I really want to put it out there for the world.
I think that your book is, awesome, because the amount of information that you've accumulated and put in there is by far, right now, one of my favorite books now. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful to hear.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have a lot of information, and I want to really go into it so that our audience can learn how can they help themselves right now today. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the things that are hidden, you know, subtle things that we don't really talk about that's in our home that may be making us sick.
Right. So the first section of the book is on the essentials of life. So food, air, and water. And of course, their air is, for most people, is invisible, and yet there are lots of toxins in the air we got to be aware of. There are most people are familiar with soot and particulates in the air, and so people have HEPA filters and all kinds of other ways to clean the air, but they may or may not be aware that the volatile organic compounds that are being emanated from a lot of our fabrics and paints and flooring materials and adhesives and glues and pretty much everything that we bring into our home, that they cause a type of pollution in the air that is not removed by an air cleaner typically. And so that's a hidden toxin that we really need to be aware of, because a lot of these volatile organic compounds, they have physiological effects. It may or may not be acute or chronic. So, people may think that they're just fine and dandy until one day they end up with a terrible disease like cancer.
Right. So volatile organic compounds, you know, are also AKA VOCs. Often you'll find it on cans of paint. And I only, you know, buy cans of paint that it says VOC free. And those are things that you can do. But you know what? When we think about it, we live in all our homes, we all have some forms of VOCs. What is it that we can do to minimize those levels?
So VOCs are, they accumulate in the air most severely or with the greatest concentration in a home that has little infiltration of fresh air. So the newer homes that are constructed with an airtight seal, the concentration of the VOCs in the air really can exceed what's considered to be within acceptable limits. So opening up the windows daily is very important, especially during the periods of the year where, depending on where you live, your windows may be usually closed. If in the winter time up the north or in the summertime in the south. So if the windows are typically closed during the day, I would try to open them, open the door to the house for 5 or 10 minutes every now and then. That's a simple thing you can do. Also, you can bring in house plants, and they've done experiments and they've shown that many house plants absorb the VOCs and they actually metabolize these compounds into food. And so not only do the house plants provide oxygen, they take out the VOCs from the air, and so they purify the air. And I recommend putting a house plant in every room of the house.
That's a great idea. Great idea. Because I've actually, seen those different types of houseplants, like the one that looks like a spider or the hanging ones. And there's many different ones that are out there, palm tree type. And that's a great tip right there. I've got to tell you a story, Dr. Brown. I recently moved into my new office. I've been in medical buildings for 28 years, going on 29. And every one of them have had absolutely no windows that open. You know what I mean? That's a typical building, medical building. And finally, I had the opportunity to find an amazing place where I have an outdoor patio and my windows open. I can't tell you how different I feel now. I mean, I've been only in there for the last 2 months, and I am a different person. I feel like I'm 20 years younger, and I feel like I can practice for another, 40 years if I wanted to, because my life feels different. I am so much happier.
True, it really is. I'll tell you, in one of my last jobs, there was this terrible odor that would occasionally come into my office, and I had gone to my wellness doctor, who did a battery of tests on me, because I was kind of losing sensation in my fingertips. Wasn't quite sure if it was heavy metal toxicity, what it was. He did a series of tests on me and told me that I had xylene toxicity, and I thought, well, where am I getting exposure to xylene? But I found out that the lab, which I shared a common wall with, they had misdirected the venting for the hood. And so they had put the hood into the HVAC system that then went into the radiology department. And so every time they opened up their preservatives, those odors and gases, the VOCs, were emanating and coming into the radiology department. So that's where the xylene came in. So, you really have to be careful, especially in this work environment.
I tell my patients always to be an allergy detective, or, be a detective yourself. And that's what you were doing.
Yes. Yep. You have to be aware. It's all about being conscious. It's all about being aware and not being afraid to speak up.
That's a good point. We forget that, we should be more curious. We should ask more questions. I have a patient that just came to me about 2 weeks ago, and she was losing her memory. She's in her 60s and she's sharp. I've known her for a long time. She's like, what's going on with me? Because I can't think. I don't feel good in the morning. I wake up exhausted. And guess what it ended up being? I told her, you got to go and get everything checked out in your home, because something is up inside your house. And we found she had carbon monoxide poisoning. And you know why?
Oh,
because her fireplace, she would use the fireplace all winter long now. She has been, because it's been cold here, even though we're in LA. And her flute wasn't open. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my goodness.
It would open and close, but most of the time it's closed. And she was being toxic from carbon monoxide. And now, of course, we're super careful and she's opening up all the doors. But boy, these are the things that we just don't know about that everyone should check.
Absolutely. I had installed a gas range in my kitchen, and there was a hood, with a fan. And I thought that it was venting to the outside, but when I started writing the chapter on air in the book, I went and did some investigation of my own, and I found out that the vent went into the space. It was a dead space above my cabinetry, and so it wasn't being vented to the outside. All those gases were being just getting pushed up into the air, into the upper portion of the house.
Wow.
And so then I had to have somebody come in, a contractor come in and put venting to bring it to the outside. But that's another example of, if you're not really paying attention, you may not realize that you're kind of subjecting yourself to toxic chemicals like carbon monoxide.
Right. We just automatically think that, you know, a house being built and the people that we contract and work with, they all know their job and what they're supposed to do to help us keep our body healthy and a healthy home. But often that's not true. And it's a good thing that, again, being more inquisitive and curious about what's going on, that's super important. Good for you. Good for you. So then besides the air, what other hidden toxins do we have to be more aware of?
So, of course, water. You know, we've heard a lot about Flint, Michigan, and other communities around the country where people are drinking their tap water and it's contaminated with lead. It might be contaminated with hexavalent chromium. There's a lot of toxins in the water. And again, water is colorless. It's clear. Usually there's no odor associated with it. And so you got to be have independent testing done to make sure that your water supply is safe. But regardless of what your source of water is, I recommend that you have a home drip gravity filter type system in your home, in the kitchen, and that whatever your source of water is, whether it's a well or a municipal water source, that you purify your own water at home. And I strongly recommend doing away with plastic water bottles. I know a lot of people use them. They think that if they're going to spend lots of money on a higher cost product, that they're getting a better product. But what they may not realize is that the plastic itself is really what's so dangerous about those plastic water bottles, because chemicals from the plastic leach into the water. And when you drink them, they can affect your body's metabolism. You know, a lot of press got put out there about BPA, bisphenol A, and how it was an estrogen mimicker. And so now a lot of these plastic bottles say they're BPA-free. And yet the industry has replaced BPA with compounds called BPS and BPF, as well as other compounds, which are also estrogen mimickers, but they haven't necessarily been taken off the market or the media coverage hasn't been such that they have to take them out of the formulations yet, but they still cause estrogenic effects on people.
Yeah, they sure do. You know, when you talk about plastics, I'm thinking about that humongous load of plastic floating in the Pacific Ocean that's the size of India now. India, it's incredible. Which then, of course, will affect the entire ecosystem, which it is. It is affecting it and causing damage to our environment, which ultimately we will, as humans, be affected as well. I know that, you know, I personally like purified water. As you say, you want a purification because you can have a lot of different types of toxins. Fluoride is one of my, one of the toxins that I'm constantly asking people to minimize in their body. Because how it affects the brain and your bones and your mitochondria. And so I use reverse osmosis, but I also tell people, you know, people always ask about, well, is RO water dead water? And I tell them, if you don't want to use just pure H2O, then put a little bit of minerals in it by possibly using, let's say, isotonic water or other types of minerals that they can add. What you use a gravity type system, but have you tested it out to see if fluoride has been eliminated through that system?
Yes. Well, I have well water in my property, and so there's no fluoride in my water system. But I am the water filter that I use does remove fluoride as well as all the other inorganic chemicals, and it actually has you put a layer of rocks, mineral type rocks, on the bottom of the reservoir, and so the water it dissolves the minerals from these rocks over time, and so it's not dead water; it's very much alive, and I love it. It's by a company called Niken, but there are a lot of great water systems on the market, and as long as you know, I feel whatever people want to use is good, as long as it's not plastic water bottles. Between the environmental blight and the toxicity associated with the plastic, that's just the worst, you know. And I don't think people should drink straight out of the tap water either, because I think they're just being too trusting. And you never know. Even if a municipal water source tells you that their water is clean and healthy and that free of contaminants, you don't know what's happening on the in the pipes that are bringing the water to your faucet. And so if you're in an older home that might have solder joints, the solder can leach lead into the water. So even though your municipal water source may say that there's no lead in your water, it may be, you know, getting into the water just through your home piping.
Mm-hmm. I think also, you know, even though municipal water is considered clean, what it is also full of chlorines and chloramines, and those are disinfectants to kill bugs so we don't get sick. But that is also killing your good flora, and it causes leaky gut issues and irritation in the gut lining. So, boy, we just can't win with that kind of water, can we? But well water, that sounds amazing. As long as there aren't any microbes, it's great.
Right, exactly. Well, there are ways to clean the water of microbes too. Depending on your water source, there are just different strategies you can use to try to optimize it. But it's very, very important. It's definitely a source of hidden toxicity if you're not careful.
Right. Let's go move on a little bit, because I'd like to look at, you know, when I took a look at your book. Thanks again for giving me a copy. You go deeply into having sleep be a huge factor in helping yourself. And in that chapter, you talk about sound. Now, this is not something that a lot of people talk about. And I love the fact that you talk about how we can actually be toxic from sound.
Yeah. you know, sound is really interesting. You know, it's a source of energy. And, you know, depending on how you're being exposed to the sound, it can be, let's say, if you just have a singing bowl or something that's producing a tone, you can resonate with that sound. So parts of your body that are frequency specific to that tonal frequency will resonate, and they'll absorb energy, just like the opera singer with a champagne glass. You know, if she hits the right frequency and the right pitch, that glass will absorb the energy that she's producing. And it will ring and perhaps even shatter. So the same thing happens in your body with tones. And when you have music or a series of tones, then you're kind of playing different parts of your body. They're absorbing the energy in a sequence that's specific to whatever the music is that you're listening to. It's fascinating. If you add a beat to that, then you produce something called entrainment, which is where your body kind of syncs to the rhythm of the music. And our bodies entrain with other people and other sources of regular energy that occurs at regular intervals. So, for example, when you slow your breath, your heart rate will slow. That's a process of entrainment. Women that live in proximity to each other, they may sync their menstrual cycles because it's a periodic physiologic thing that people will become entrained to. So we can also entrain to music. And if people put on fast music when they want to be, slow down, perhaps at the end of the day, then that's kind of counterproductive. If it's at the end of the day and you want to relax and get ready for sleep, you want to put on slow music that will slow your body system. So that we can use music and sound to help ourselves and make sleep at the end of the day more accessible, or create energy during the day when we want to be vibrant and full of life. The third thing that, you know, music that's got lyrics that I talk about in the book is the idea of consciousness, and the idea that when you are listening to and perhaps singing with a sound, and the author of that music has created they've created lyrics, and they're imparting ideas and a form of consciousness through not only the sound of the music but also the lyric, you kind of absorb that into your own mind, and you can recreate over time the writer's experience. It's a strange phenomenon, but it's through the power of manifestation. And so lyrics can be really, really powerful. It may not happen that day or the next day, perhaps, the manifestation of what you're listening to can be 10 years down the road, but it happens. I've heard many, many people say that it's happened to them. They've lived the experience of a song, one of their favorite songs that they used to listen to all the time when they were younger.
Dr. Brown, the first experience I really had was about 20 years ago when I read this book by Dr. Don Miguel Ruiz. It's called The Four Agreements. And that really helped me believe in the word. And his first agreement that he talks about is be impeccable with your word. That means whatever you say, whatever you think, is it can truly manifest. And I think that's what you're talking about regarding the consciousness through words. Thing that I would like to ask you, you said something very interesting, which is about the phenomenon of entrainment. And in my practice, I treat all forms of different types of chronic illnesses due to chronic infections, whether it's viruses like Epstein-Barr, cytomegalo, herpes 6, bacterial, considering the gut bacteria, fungal, and whatnot. And I actually think the person can actually entrain with the rhythm of the pathogen microbes. Do you believe in that?
I would certainly think that's possible, yeah, that there's a frequency to disease. Well, I'm not sure if I would use the word entrainment, but I would say that we can become frequency specific with disease, and that we are, we become part of it in a way. We sync up to it energetically with a certain, there's a certain frequency. You can have a frequency that is not consistent with disease, and you can have a frequency that becomes consistent with disease, and that can be a dangerous phenomenon, because then it's harder to get well.
Right. I mean, entrainment, as you mentioned, it's the rhythm of,
it's a rhythm,
right? But I found very often with the rhythm of the lunar cycle, the moon, that when the person can really become much more volatile and irritated and more inflamed during the full moon phase. And that can be part of the parasitic fungal life cycle.
Okay, yeah. The lunar cycles are fascinating. There's been a lot of research about that, and for some reason they can't come up with anything concrete, but I have absolutely noticed that the diseases exacerbate when there's a full moon, people, the emotional issues exacerbated. It is a very, I think it's a very real phenomenon. In fact, when we were doing, when I was doing a call for the hospital, if it was a full moon, I prepared myself much more so than if it wasn't, because I knew it was going to be a busy night.
That's right. That's right. And people always say, I mean, doctors and nurses have said that very often. I've heard that many, many times. And like I said, I see it in my practice. So I think this is very interesting. You know, I want to go into one more little area before we're done, because we're almost done with our time, is that you talk about the harmonious environment and the practice of feng shui in your book, which I think is awesome. You know, I've been using feng shui in my practice, in my office, in my home for, gosh, many, many years. And it's a big part of creating that harmony, that balance inside your environment. You even show people how to do it, which is amazing too. Good for you.
Yeah, I try. Yes. I love feng shui. I try to bring, in the book, I try to bring people from the idea of biochemistry and physical awareness, which is where most people are with when they think about their health and their well-being. They're kind of stuck in the biochemistry. And I try to bring people from the idea of biochemical relationships to then thinking about energy. So yes, sound, and I talk about light and electromagnetic frequencies coming from, you know, wireless devices. But those are sources of energy we can measure. And then I try to push the envelope a little bit further to talk about feng shui and meditation and the power of the mind. And these are energetic phenomena that we do not have the ability to measure yet with a machine. But I think they are absolutely valid, and they have a huge effect. Especially the power of the mind is ultimately the mastermind behind everything that we experience. And feng shui and developing the ability to manipulate and move energy through your home, it has a tremendous effect on your well-being. It's a mysterious phenomenon, but I think that, yes, if people start, even if you implement a few changes here and there to just reduce clutter, for example, which is something that most people strive to do, or having your bedroom be more subdued without, you know, graphic bright images, but more subtle colors, fewer electronics, if any, and if you could ideally have a bedroom without any electronics, you'd be better off. And then have more vibrant, lifelike images and colors in the family room, in the kitchen, and to create a flow of energy where there are places where you can relax, which they refer to as yin, and places in the home where you're energetic and happy and joyful and alive, and those are yang. So you really want to have a balance in the home and a flow of energy so that you have proper flow in your own being as well.
Thank you. That's great. I so appreciate it. Now, your book, Toxic Home, Conscious Home, is available online, I'm sure, and your website is called robbrownmd.com. And you're also available on Facebook, right?
Yep. All the links to social media are on my website. So I have a Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
That's great. Thanks so much. I'm really happy to have you here. So appreciate it. Again, that book, Toxic Home, Conscious Home, is a big winner. Big winner. I'm hoping everyone will be able to go and get that. You bet.
Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Brown. Take care now. Oh, thank you so much, everyone, for being part of the Wellness for Life community. And if you enjoyed this show, we would so appreciate a rave review on iTunes. Please do connect with me on Instagram or Facebook. And if you need any guidance and want to dig deeper into your chronic illnesses, please do give us a call. You can get my information on drsuzanne.com for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.